This podcast is brought to you by PrideNZ.com and made possible through a generous grant from Aotearoa.
I am queer, femme, fat, amazing person who has a mental illness.
Do you want to tell me a little bit more about what some of those identities mean to you?
Yeah, so for me, being femme is about being able to be who I am. When I first sort of realised that I was really, really queer, I thought that that meant that I had to be super butch and shave all my hair off, and I just had a lot of kind of... I had a really difficult time, and I moved to uni, and it was amazing, and it was also just horrible. Mm-hmm. And then I slowly kind of realised that actually... I can wear lipstick, and I can wear dresses, and also if I don't want to, and I want to wear my plaid and my docs, it's also completely acceptable. And I think that was the biggest kind of moment for me, was realizing that that even though I liked, because at the time I identified as a lesbian, which I don't anymore, but the biggest thing was realizing that I could be queer and also femme, and that even though it sometimes meant that I was invisible, it was okay. The biggest thing about being femme that I've discovered is that you go to the gay bar and you're just seen as being a straight person who's there with their gay best friend, which is always really fun. It's not fun at all. I've had people who I went to high school with who are openly queer come up to me and be like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, well, the same thing you are, probably, like, trying to meet a babe. And they're like, no, but you're not gay. And it's like, well, actually, I am a bit. In terms of being fat, it's also been quite difficult, especially in terms of... I guess, like, gender identity kind of stuff, because I have days where I want to be really androgynous, and it took a long time for me to realise that you can be androgynous without having to be super thin and wearing, like, men's clothes, and now I'm just like, yeah, I'm an androgynous femme sometimes, which a lot of people don't really understand, and sometimes I don't understand, but I think that's the beauty of it.
How did you realise that it was okay to be femme and to be those things?
A lot of interneting. I don't read books. I find it quite difficult to read books and to read, like, scholarly articles and things. So a lot of it was literally just probably Tumblr, to be honest. When I was really sick and not going to university, because I was super... mentally ill and crazy, I would just be online all the time on Tumblr and Twitter and get linked to blog posts, and you see people discussing things, and that was really how I kind of went from being a tiny baby lesbian who was a super white feminist TM to being like an intersectional queer feminist. So it's taken a while, but I'm at a good space, I think, right now. Can be better, though. Definitely.
I guess when you were kind of growing up and first figuring out your sexuality, what did you feel like there were messages or the idea of, I guess, at that point for you being lesbian was to be butch and to be masculine?
Yeah. So, because I don't like admitting it, but I'm generally attracted to more masculine presenting people, and I was like, in order to be attracted to those people, I definitely have to present in a very femme way. And then I was like, no, I don't. I need to be really butch. And it was just, you see on TV and in media, the representations of, like, the femme girl is always actually just, she's bisexual, but actually she's not bisexual, she's actually just straight, but she's, like, trying to impress men. Or the other side of it is the, like, shaved head, really butch, often really fat, like, stone butch-looking people. So it's, like, one or the other, and there's no kind of middle ground. So I think that definitely... And I wanted to be seen. I didn't want to be invisible. I wanted people to know I was queer because I'd grown up in a sort of semi-rural setting and had just been teased for ages about being gay, and everyone kind of knew before I did. And so I was like, well, now I'm in Wellington. I'm in this big city and there are lots of queer people and it's amazing and you can be yourself. So I'm going to make sure that everyone knows that I'm super, super gay.
How did you do that?
What did I do? I think I shaved off one side of my hair. I already had quite short hair, but I shaved off one side and I started wearing Doc Martens because I was like, everyone has to wear Doc Martens if they're a lesbian. And I got some plaid shirts and I sort of stopped wearing dresses and skirts and generally kind of got a lot more like grungy. Which was like, it was a good aesthetic, but definitely not something that I think I truly kind of felt like I fitted in with or belonged with. Yeah.
And what was your journey from using the word lesbian to moving to queer for your sexuality and gender?
I went from lesbian to bisexual. So when I first kind of came out, I was like, I'm bisexual. It was really difficult. My mum, immediately when I came out as bisexual, she literally put me in the car and drove me to a psychiatrist and we had a discussion, and my mum was really not okay with it and she thought I was doing it to spite her. So I kind of just stayed as bisexual because I kind of, that's what I thought I was. And then I was like, no, I'm actually a lesbian. And then I kind of realised that no, I was interested in men. And then I kind of realised that there are other identities that fit outside of that. So I kind of toyed with the idea of pansexuality and stuff to do with not being sort of monosexual and things like that. But I realised that queer was a lot better because it fitted in with my sexuality as well as my gender identity. And it also seems like a lot more of a political word of what, at the time. I was very angry and political. And feminist, and I thought that that was probably the right way to go about describing myself. And it's reclaiming a word that people use to hurt people. Like, my parents are of the age where that's an acceptable word to use to describe something that's not right. And I feel like I'm not right sometimes, so it fits quite well. Yeah.
And what about when you were first kind of realising your sexuality was different to the norm? What was that like?
I remember I have this really vivid memory of being, I was in year 9, I think, so I must have been about 12, maybe 13, and I remember talking to my friends about the idea of being bicurious, and they were all like, oh, that's so gross, what do you mean? And I was like, well, no, are you not curious at all about what it's like to, like, kiss another girl? And I actually got them all being like, oh, yeah, well, I guess I am bicurious. So I think that was, I didn't really think much of it at the time, but looking back on it, there are definitely things that I'm like, oh, that probably was me kind of experimenting and testing the waters and things like that. And I know my mum would watch Coronation Street and there was a gay man on the show, and she was really, really sort of supportive of him. And I think I asked her once what she would do if one of her kids was gay. And I think the sort of reaction was like, oh, it's okay if it's someone else's kid, but not mine. I don't think I could deal with that. And so it was something I didn't really kind of want to talk about for ages. And then I was really, really sick and I decided that it was time to probably tell my mum because it had kind of been eating away at me. And so I told her, and that's when she kind of was not particularly impressed. We literally never discussed it ever again for a good couple of years until I got really mentally unwell again. And her way of bringing it up was asking if I was depressed because of that thing we talked about a couple of years ago. So I guess for me, it's been like there have been people that I'm really, really open about talking about gender and sexuality and stuff with, and other people who I don't want to go anywhere near it with, So I'm still not completely out, and it's still like a journey. But I know that someone who really helped me was, and I don't think he necessarily, I don't think he realizes what he did, but he did theatre with me, and he was quite a few years older than me, and he was so gay, and he was so out, and he was just amazing, and the kindest dude ever. And I, as I was starting to sort of realize my sexuality and stuff, I would text him about what it was like for him coming out, and we would discuss that, like, late at night, at, like, 12 at night, when everyone was asleep, and it was all very secret, and I was kind of just sort of... Yeah, it was all very secret for a very long time. Yeah. Then I came to Wellington. I was like, look at me! Butch lesbian!
And so has your experience of mental illness, has that intersected with your queer identity?
I think, I mean, a lot, probably almost all, I think, statistically. I'm not sure of the statistics, but... I mean, queer people have really, really high rates of mental illness, so 100% I fully believe that probably part of it is to do with that, especially in terms of the reaction of people around me when I came out and not wanting to come out and things like that. My psychiatrist didn't help when she... The first question she asked me was, do I have dreams about girls and boys? And I had to answer that in front of my mum, which at 15 was like... I felt completely inappropriate. So I've kind of... It's definitely, I think, impacted on that. But I think there are a lot of reasons why I have mental illness and various different mental illnesses. And I think part of it is genetics. Part of it is being fat. I had a lot of problems with that growing up. So I've always been fat. I was born fat and I've stayed fat. But it's, I've definitely found it, sometimes I have really, really bad social anxiety, and it makes it difficult going to events sometimes. I find that it's really hard to go to inclusive events because they don't really exist, and then sometimes the anxiety or being unwell and not being able to sort of get out of the house to actually go to them. And I found that a lot of the queer people I've met who I've wanted to stay friends with, I haven't been able to, purely because I haven't been able to sort of leave the house sometimes to be able to maintain a friendship with them. So it's definitely kind of impacted a lot of places in my life, but I think especially the queer part of my life as well.
Has there been times where you've been able to kind of find that, I guess, like, community in real life, or is that something that's important to you, or... Has that meant that that maybe the internet is like a place where you find a lot of that kind of community? Or
yeah, especially when I was sick, the internet was 100% the only place that I had a community. Now that I'm reasonably well, I feel like I have that offline, but definitely things like Tumblr and Twitter, blogs were... really important to me, maintaining a community. And it wasn't just queer people, though a lot of them were queer. It was amazing feminist people. I learned a lot about fat politics as well, and just kind of realizing that my body was okay being fat, and that as someone who doesn't really feel cis but definitely looks cis, it's been kind of good to realize that actually I can be who I want to be, but also I don't have to look that way, if that makes sense, which has been, it was the most, I think, important part in a lot of ways, was the internet. Internet, such a great invention. Amazing. Yeah, I feel like I have a community, not so much anymore now that I've got a sort of a full-time job, but definitely I've made a lot of friends, especially in the States. I have a best friend in Melbourne now. We met in real life for the first time after meeting online about 3 years ago, and I saw her over Christmas. She's an amazing, beautiful, queer feminist, and like it's just, it's kind of, it's amazing to think that you can have these friendships that start out online and then are actually become real life friendships that are queer people as well. It's really great.
Is it hard not having those parts of your identity read?
Yeah, I think I was thinking about this earlier, and I think I don't mind it so much. I don't mind if I am called by, I guess, like my birth name, because at work that's something that has to happen, so I'm okay with that at the moment. And I feel like it's okay at the moment being read as cis by a majority of people, like at work and things, for instance. I think the hardest part is when people who you've already talked to, who you've already said, please don't call me this, you know, they continue to do that, and part of it is forgetting, and part of it, I think, is just them being lazy. I don't know. It's quite difficult sometimes. I think I don't identify as trans because I feel like I don't, I'm not trans enough, if that makes sense, but I don't feel like I'm cis either. So not feeling trans enough is a bit of a hard thing to deal with. Don't feel like I can partake in like trans-only events. Sometimes I feel like I read an article once, and it was sort of said that it was a really bad article. Like I don't agree with it, but it's kind of stuck with me. And that a lot of people these days don't feel comfortable being women because they're such minorities, and you know, so oppressed that they decide that they want to be sort of even more oppressed. So they say they're not women just so that they don't have to like deal with that. And I sort of feel like maybe that's how people read me sometimes. Is just not wanting to say that I'm a woman because of all the baggage that comes with that. So, yeah, I try really hard not to let that get to me, but I think that was a very bad article, and it'll sort of stick with me for the rest of my life. Yeah.
And how would you explain it to people who don't get it?
How would I? I don't know, because I can't even explain it to myself sometimes. I don't know. It's just, some days I wake up and I'm like, I definitely want to wear a dress today, but I wish that I didn't have boobs and that I had no hair today. But I mean, it can be completely inappropriate for me in my job to shave all my hair off right now. And some days I wake up and I want the same thing, but I want to make sure that I'm wearing like a pantsuit or something. I don't own a pantsuit, but gosh, that would be so good. So it's kind of just, I don't feel right sometimes in my body. And I've had partners in the past who haven't really respected that, and it's been really shitty that someone who you think, because they're queer and they're more likely to know these sorts of things, and they don't sort of respect that, and they just sort of read you as cis no matter how many times you say. And so I think that's the worst part, is when it's partners and people you're intimately involved with and things like that. That's real stink.
Yeah.
Would you like to talk about makeup? And definitely I want to talk about makeup. I have also been thinking a lot about makeup for femme people, because I know some trans dudes who are super femme and wear makeup and like nail polish and things. And I've been thinking a lot about that. Because I guess as someone who, I mean, I'm not a trans guy, but I'm, like, gender non-conforming, even though it looks like I conform to a gender, and how wearing makeup, like, I can be the most femme little prince ever, like, I can have a full face of makeup, and I really like the idea of, like, femme guys being able to wear makeup as well, and having amazing red lipstick. And I have a friend, and he wears the best red lipstick ever. But I think that he is often read as being a cis like woman or girl, I guess. And I just like that must be really hard for him. And I guess I have a lot of thoughts about that, but I guess I can't actually get them out. So maybe I don't want to talk about that. Maybe that's something I need to think more about.
How are clothes and makeup important to you in the way you express yourself and your
Clothes used to be really, really important to me in makeup. I was looking at pictures of me from 2 years ago, and I would wear, like, a dog collar every day and just, like, ridiculously crazy outfits. And especially when I was going to uni and things, I could wear a lot more kind of ridiculous outfits. And I think a lot of it was that I wanted people to notice me still, but I also didn't want people to notice me. And clothes, yeah, I've gotten a lot fatter over the past couple of months, and I no longer fit a lot of my clothes, and I'm finding it really difficult to have clothes that fit me and to be able to buy clothes, and so clothes have become a really important part of my life right now, just because I'm constantly thinking about them and wondering where I'm going to buy them from and if I'm just going to continue to get fatter. But they're super important, and makeup, as a trained makeup artist, makeup is super important to me as well. I wish that I was able to wear makeup every day, but I don't have the time to do that. But sometimes my favourite thing to do when I'm feeling super duty is to just put on a full face of makeup, and it's almost like I've just become this other person, and it's great. And I like being able to change my clothes to show different parts of how I'm, different ways that I'm feeling, different gender identities, all that kind of stuff. It's very important to me.
How do you feel with those, all those different identities that you talked about? I mean, obviously, I guess lots of them are kind of about being a minority within the, I guess, rainbow community.
Mm-hmm.
What are some ways that you kind of see or feel or experience that happening?
I think because of the people I surround myself with... Yes. Yes, that's the word. At the moment, I'm really into if someone doesn't respect me or respect my politics or has just awful opinions, I'm really into removing them from my life because I don't have time for that shit anymore. Yeah. And so... I feel, at the moment, the people I surround myself with, I actually feel really comfortable with how I look and how I present, being fat and femme. It's things like online dating and things like that. I've just had horrible experiences with online dating, and just, yeah, I think my online profile possibly makes it seem like I'm maybe, like, a lot more butch or something than I am, and probably skinnier because I've gotten a lot fatter, but just people seem to meet up in real life, and it's just... It's not what they expect, I don't think. And so I think that's the hardest part. It's, like, people who I don't know, people who I've sort of had online relationships with, and then we've met up in real life, and it's kind of like, oh, that person doesn't really look like how I thought they would. Mm. But... my people who I surround myself with in the rainbow community at the moment, generally really good. There are obviously people who are not so great. I went to Big Gay Out last year. I recall having a few words spoken to me. I find cis gay men particularly wonderful at being able to, their vocabulary is very colourful, some of the things that they say. I think a lot of that, though, is that they have a lot of issues that they have to deal with to conform, a lot of eating disorders in that, in the community, and so they just project that onto other people, which is a bit crap. Mm-hmm. But in general, I feel quite okay with where I am.
What advice would you give to a younger you or someone experienced?
A tiny V. I don't know.
Or another person kind of experiencing some of the things that you've experienced?
I think the main thing that I wish that I'd kind of realised sooner was that you need to just get rid of the shit people in your life. And maybe you can go back to them when they've read a few books or learned a few things, but you don't want people in your life who are telling you that you're not worth it, 'cause no matter what it's about, whether it's to do with being queer or whether it's to do with your being fat or whatever, like, it's just, it's not okay. That's my biggest kind of regret is just remaining friends for so long with people who constantly put me down. But I like to think that now I'm much better than them. Definitely 100% a babe. And their ugly personalities make them an ugly person. These are my opinions.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you experience being part of this community, or maybe issues that you see facing the wider community that you'd like changed?
I feel like I don't have that many issues at the moment. I think trans issues are really, really important, and also youth issues. But I think people sort of see the rainbow community as being cis white people, and it's not. It's so not. We need to care more about trans women, especially trans women of colour, especially like the things that happened at Pride recently with Emmy and the other people involved. And I'm friends with trans women who have no money because they can't get jobs, and all sorts of shit that happens to them that doesn't happen to cis women. And, you know, I know they identify like as brown trans people, and, you know, they're homeless and stuff like that, and it's awful. We need to absolutely care more about that. It's not just cis white people. Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit more about what happened at Pride and what your feelings about that are?
So at Pride, there were three people who decided that they wanted to protest, a peaceful protest was my understanding, the inclusion of police officers and corrections staff being involved in the Pride parade. Traditionally, Pride parades have been protests, but Pride has slowly become more sort of corporate and people giving money, which I guess, like, I understand that. I mean, pinkwashing to get money from corporations, but also, I just have a lot of feelings about that. Anyway, so they protested, and they went over the barrier, and there were two white-presenting people, and then there was Emmy, who was a Māori trans woman, and the security guards went for her and not for the other white people, and in the process broke her arm. And there's just been a literal shitstorm of things that people have said and done and not done. And my understanding is that the leader of GABA, or someone really high up in GABA, which is the gay business. Do you know what it stands for?
The Gay Auckland Business Association.
Gay Auckland Business Association grabbed someone's phone who was recording their arrest, because Emmy was arrested, and hurled it accidentally, obviously in quote marks, because I've seen the footage and it was not accidental, and broke the phone. So there are people in high places who just don't give a shit, and it's disgusting. And I'm super appalled. And the fact that people were saying that you need to not protest, you need to actually be involved in the parade. And then I had other friends who were involved in the parade and doing a silent protest in the parade, walking through it. And people were hurling abuse at them for not being cheery and glittery and, you know, completely colourful. So my feelings are that Pride is a bit shit, to be honest. Yeah.
What's your favourite thing about being a young queer female person in New Zealand?
I think my favourite thing is probably the people I've met. The journey I've been through, which has been awful. It's been just, I mean, it's a wonder I'm still alive, to be honest. But I don't know if it's necessarily like it was all for it was all for the great cause, and now I'm this amazing person. I don't know, like, whether my life will still be great in another few years' time, who knows. But right now I think just the people I've kind of met through all of the things, and little queer families that we all belong in, the little community. It was all very cute, and basically, yeah, the people who I have in my life right now are all amazing, and I think that's definitely the best part about it, is having people that I can talk to if I need to, people who feel like they can talk to me. We can all just cuddle together, eating chips, talking about babes. Yeah, that's definitely the best bit. Yep.